Well, I want to thank both of you guys for joining us for this special interview. We're joined with Aaron Smith, founder of Escaping the Odds, also joined with Milwaukee native Ed Hennings, motivational speaker, life coach, and creator of the Change Institute. Thank you, both of you, for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Aaron Smith, you're the founder of Escaping the Odds, both the website and the podcast. Do you mind setting us up exactly what was your background and what led you to forming Escaping the Odds?
Escaping the Odds Media was came out of my own incarceration. I was released in 2019, and I decided to start a media company where I wanted to highlight the formerly incarcerated who are now successful entrepreneurs, since that was my story as well. And that has spawned into just creating more podcasts for different corporations. And Ed and I partnered up to do a podcast together as well called Urban Trucker, which is produced by Escaping Odds Media.
And Ed, what is your background when it comes to motivational speaking and the Change Institute?
Yes, sir. I as well had spent some time in prison, actually 20 years. And I came home October 18, 2016. And since then, I've seen some success in entrepreneurship. I own a barbershop beauty salon. I have a trucking business called Go Time Trucking. And with that, people seeing me in my community take a fall and go spend 20 years in prison and then come back to see some success like that in entrepreneurship. A lot of people had questions of how did I do it? So with that spawned a lot of invitations to come and speak to other youth, other juvenile delinquents, should I say justice involved individuals from my community, and just give them some inspiration to say, look, Ed Hennings did it. You can do it too. We made some choices. We made some mistakes. But as long as we're breathing, as long as we're above ground, we have a chance. And just take that opportunity to do the best you can. And you get results when you give things 100%. So that's how all of that has come about. And like Aaron said, we've come together to do numerous engagements on just trying to continue that and push that forward.
So, Ed and Aaron, you guys have teamed up along with Stretch Finance to offer box trucking classes to the formerly incarcerated. How did you guys meet, come together, and what exactly is this program? And I guess to add on more to the question, what is the goal, the mission of this program?
Okay, well, I can answer the first part, and Ed can answer the second part of that. Ed and I met a couple of years back. He was on the podcast. He was telling his story of our entrepreneurship after incarceration. And from there, we just kind of built a rapport, and Stretch Finance reached out to me after reading an article about me in the Wall Street Journal, and they wanted to create some courses as it relates, not only just for the formerly incarcerated, but any disenfranchised people in the community. And so I said, well, you know, my area of expertise is logistics, and I know someone else who's also expert in that field as well. And I introduced Ed Hennings, and we collaborated on this joint project. And pretty much the box truck is a way for people to kind of get into the industry without having a commercial driver's license. It's been a success thus far.
Yeah, and just to continue to go on with what Aaron is saying about, you know, this box truck thing and with the formerly incarcerated, with me speaking and learning so much about, because I had never been to prison before. So me sitting in there and talking to individuals, I was the barber while I was in prison. I took barber and cosmetology. So I worked as the barber pretty much my whole 20 years. So I've had a lot of conversations with people. And at the root of a lot of what we're seeing on the news and in the media when it comes to crime, it comes down to poverty. Not every situation, but I would say a lot of what you're seeing is poverty. It's not so much as the people we're looking at as opposed to the situation. So we can also, along with inspiration and motivation, offer a way to put food on the table, a way to pay bills, and a way to change your financial situation. I think that would change a lot. Because I grew up in the Milwaukee that had the big manufacturing boom. It had the boom of the A.O. Smiths, the Briggs and Strattons, the breweries were hiring like crazy when a lot of families migrated to Milwaukee. And it's no coincidence, I don't think, that when these companies decided to pack up and leave, the economy got worse, crime and morality got worse. So I think a lot of what we're seeing is directly tied to the economy. So to provide opportunity through trucking, which Aaron and I both have benefited from and seen what it can do, to be able to spread that and say, hey, we're going to motivate you, but we're also going to give you a way that you can really change your life without getting into any trouble.
Do we see a correlation between well-paying jobs that are able to keep up with cost of living, stable jobs, and a decrease in overall crime?
Yes. I'm a big component, and I push this all day, every day in my talks, is that I think we have a problem in America when you start seeing well-to-do people committing crimes. If you look at the situation and look at the economic, diversity in this thing from top to bottom, the bottom, you're going to see crime. You're going to see low morality. And that's not just in America. That's on this globe. Anywhere that you go and see impoverished areas, you see high crime and low morals. So I like to tell people poverty is kind of undefeated. So if we can't fix the economy, if we can't fix somebody's financial status, and the best way I can put it in layman's terms is when I have my bills paid and I have some money in my pocket, I'm a better person than I am when my bills are stacked up against me. I don't know how I'm going to get this done. That stress kicks in, and I'm a whole different person. And I know it's a lot of people out here in this country that can relate to that.
And oftentimes, desperate times call for desperate measures. So you tend to take risks that you normally would not take in order to take care of your family and your loved ones. And that's what we both experienced while we were incarcerated, just men and women taking chances that they probably wouldn't have taken had they had some of those opportunities. Not every case, but absolutely more than not.
Aaron, I want to ask you about how social capital plays a part in this equation. But Ed, this is a question that you might have a little bit more experience on. What are the leading motivations for people who want to change their life?
I would say just when you went and to really just be candid and transparent about this thing, man, we are talking about thousands of broken men. You know, when you grow up, and you're 7 and 8 years old, and you got dreams, and you're dreaming big. And by the time you're 16 and 17, that thing has been chipped away at. It's been snatched from you. And you don't even know where you fit in this world. So to just not only talk about what would inspire or motivate somebody to get after it, first you have to even convince them that it's possible. So many people at a young age, way younger than I ever could think of, has given up. 15, 14 years old is saying, you know what, man, it's nothing's good going to happen for me. And so when life kind of takes that turn, you're dealing with something that I read from Frederick Douglass that said it's easier to raise a child than it is to repair a broken man. So the thing is just trying to repair and get a person to believe again.
Aaron, Ed mentioned a little bit earlier about impoverishment and more than just impoverishment and social economic status. You talk about in your podcast, Escaping the Odds, about earning social capital. What exactly is social capital and how does it play an important part in changing one's life?
Yeah, social capital, just being able to having that network. When I was released from incarceration, I had no professional network at all, but I knew that if I wanted to get inside those rooms, I had to meet the right people. We all heard the cliche, it's not what you know, it's who you know, but I take it a step further than that. It's like, even once you get in that room, you have to know what got you in that room, right? You have to be able to maintain and be in that room and add value up to that room as well. And so when I got out, I began to just go to meet up groups and be uncomfortable in places that I have never been in a room, you know, with certain kind of people. And but it built my confidence up. And again, it increased my network, and now I'm able to, you know, build relationships with people from all walks of life, all socioeconomic backgrounds. And it's key. It's key not only just for people who's formerly incarcerated, but the average Joe Blow, you know, just being able to have resources and to be able to add value and to know people and for people to know you and to for them to know your character and value and be able to take your life to the next level. So social capital is very, very important.
Aaron, this is expanding it a little bit, and feel free to chime in as well. But Aaron, you wrote in your blog about last year, the more we use what we know, the better off we become. Speaking personally from your own experience, how can we increase our knowledge and the confidence in what we know?
Well, you know, we just have to consistently be a life learner. And it's, oftentimes that's unlearning things as well. So many things I thought I knew, I had no idea. And so it was also stepping outside of that comfort zone that I talked about and being in rooms with people that you had never rubbed elbows with before. And it basically gives you that confidence. It's going to take a while. You're going to feel like you don't belong there, but you belong there, right? There's a reason why God has you in that room, and it's to make a difference. And so for me, I just had to keep that confidence even when I felt like I didn't belong there. I had to, sometimes you have to talk yourself into it. Because remember, I was coming from incarceration. My life had been the same every day for the past almost decade. And so this was something new, it was a culture shock. And so just being around different people and practicing and put into practice everything that I dreamed of while I was away was pertinent for me to be successful.
And I really myself feel just like Aaron about this word that we use quite often lately. We've been using the word momentum. And momentum is very real in life, because change, we talk about change so much, but really change is so difficult. So what I try to do is get them young and talk to somebody young to get them started outright. Because once you get going in the wrong way, it's subconscious. It's more than it is conscious. Because when you find yourself in a jam, just like myself, when I found myself sitting in prison, I reverted back to the subconscious, which was what my parents taught me. The stuff that I thought was outdated, the things that I thought that wasn't going to work for me because they were old. I reverted to these principles that they gave me, and I started to see things get better in my life. So the thing is making sure that momentum, because once you get going in one direction, it's so hard to stop and turn around and go back the other way. Because that's like somebody telling you, write your name. You take a pencil and you're a right-handed person. And they say, okay, you wrote your name with that right hand. Now put it in your left hand. You know how much thought, concentration, and strain it's going to take, because you've been writing in that right hand all your life, not offhand, and write your name. It's going to be totally different. And that's kind of what we are asking people to get off into a bad start and not understanding the dynamic of that momentum.
My left hand is just about as illegible as my right hand, so I don't know. I think I just need to work on my penmanship altogether.
Hey, that makes two of us. That makes two of us.
We're joined with Ed Hennings and Aaron Smith talking about the new collaboration that you guys have been working together along with Stretch Finance. And for anyone out there who is looking for an opportunity, maybe they are formerly incarcerated or about to return to a setting and trying to get their life back on track, where can they find out more about this venture and if it's a right fit for them?
Well, stretch.money is the website. They can check it out, kind of get a high-level view of the course. And also, they can reach out to myself or Ed directly. I'm at escapingtheoddspodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and I'm at edhennings1972@gmail.com.
Well, Aaron, Ed, thank you so much for joining us. Anything else that either of you would like to include?
I would like to include... Go ahead, Ed.
Me, myself, I always like to break it all the way down to believing in yourself. I think that's been the most powerful thing that I've come across since I've been on this journey of mine. And in belief, just please, whatever it takes for you to read or whatever exercise. I spoke about this on the podcast the other day, and I'll end it. It's if when a caterpillar is going through, it struggles to become a butterfly. They go through an extreme amount of struggle to become a butterfly. But if a man walks up and try to stop that caterpillar from going through that struggle, he won't become a butterfly. He'll die. So a lot of what we become is through the actions that we take and the struggles and challenges that we overcome. So sometimes when you see somebody going through a struggle in life, sometimes it's just best to take a step back and let them figure it out, especially at a young age.
Absolutely. And on that note, I'll end with your defining moments. Oftentimes are the moments in your life that's going to can change your life for the better. For myself, there was a couple of things I can think about that really impacted my life. And so it's about embracing those moments. It's a reason why God had put you through those things, and to accept being uncomfortable and just embrace the whole situation.
Great words of wisdom. You can find out more about Aaron at Escaping the Odds, and Ed, creator of the Change Institute, Ed Hennings, Aaron Smith. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Tom.
Aaron Smith, founder of Escaping the Odds, and Ed Hennings, motivational speaker, life coach, and creator of the Change Institute, telling us a little bit about the new partnership between Escaping the Odds and Stretch Finance. This interview was originally held September 12th of 2022.